Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you. And I'm joined with my beautiful wife, Reverend A.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to see you here. We're going to be discussing Lesson 57 from A Course in Miracles workbook today. And we're still in review. Lesson 57 will include the previous lessons 31 through 35 in review. And we'll just be discussing those ideas and a short reading from Brother Jesus. If you'd like to follow us, you can find us at blogtalkradio.com. Just do a search for The Best Hour. You can also find us on our website for our spiritual community, True Thought Spiritual Community, at truthought.org. All the workbook lessons, the podcast, are added there, in addition to, you know, reviews and introductions and other things that we don't put on the podcast here. So we appreciate you. Thanks so much for following along, Mighty Companion. Before we begin, let's take a good deep breath and join together in a moment of silence. Today, let us review these ideas. Number 31, I am not the victim of the world I see. How can I be the victim of a world that can be completely undone if I so choose? My chains are loosened. I can drop them off merely by desiring to do so. The prison door is open. I can leave it simply by walking out. Nothing holds me in this world. Only my wish to stay keeps me a prisoner. I would give up my insane wishes and walk into the sunlight at last.
Number 32, I have invented the world I see. I made up the prison in which I see myself. All I need do is recognize this, and I am free. I have deluded myself into believing it is possible to imprison the Son of God. I was bitterly mistaken in this belief, which I no longer want. The Son of God must forever be free. He is as God created him, and not what I would make of him. He is where God would have him be, and not where I thought to hold him prisoner.
Number 33, there is another way of looking at the world. Since the purpose of the world is not the one I ascribed to it, there must be another way of looking at it. I see everything upside down, and my thoughts are the opposite of truth. I see the world as a prison for God's Son. It must be, then, that the world is really a place where he can be set free. I would look upon the world as it is and see it as a place where the Son of God finds his freedom.
Number 34, I could see peace instead of this. When I see the world as a place of freedom, I realize that it reflects the laws of God instead of the rules which I made up for it to obey. I will understand that peace, not war, abides in it. And I will perceive that peace also abides in the hearts of all who share this place with me.
And number 35, my mind is part of God's. I am very holy. As I share the peace of the world with my brothers, I begin to understand that this peace comes from deep within myself. The world I look upon has taken on the light of my forgiveness and shines forgiveness back at me. In this light, I begin to see what my illusions about myself have kept hidden. I begin to understand the holiness of all living things, including myself, and their oneness with me. And so it is. Let's join together for another brief moment of silence before we continue with a short conversation about today's lesson. Let's take a good deep breath. It's becoming clear now that being in this experience is nothing more than a choice. And of course, in miracles, Jesus calls it the tiny man idea, this my idea of separation. Yet it also is an experience of contrast, an experience of awakening and putting ourselves through this amazing opportunity to come into a place where we've forgotten who we are and the absolute exultation and bliss and joy of remembering that in the midst of a dream, to remember who we are, to become awakened in form and in form then, to be the expression of love for our brothers and sisters who might still be deluded by the idea that they truly are placed here by a God, maybe a God that's vengeful, wrathful, unloving, and difficult to comprehend, and waking up to the realization that this was our choice to pretend to be God, to pretend to be sovereign, to pretend to be in control of our life, and in a dimension that we've created out of nothing but our imagination. So why we play God here? And people do ask me sometimes, well, if this is true, and what you're saying, Brother T, is that, you know, that we can wake up at any time, and as this lesson reviewed today says, you know, I can leave by simply walking out. Why would I stay? What was keeping me here? And my reply is always that, well, because you're playing God, and you're in control, and you get to decide what everything is. You get to name what everything is named. You get to give everything all the meaning that it has. And while you're playing that game of separation, the juice is worth the squeeze. What you're getting out of it pleases you, or at least your ego self. And this self that we've created out of nothing, out of illusory mind, out of our imagination, is what we're representing here. And when we quit representing that idea of what we believe we are, then what's left of us? We seem to be lost in a void, not knowing who to be, how to be, what to be. And this is the step that has to be taken, however, so that we can make space for the connection, the reconnection, the remembering of what we are as we join in union with our true self. And the grace of God, the grace of love, the grace of wholeness, and being returned to being one with the connection with all that is what awaits us. But we have to make that decision. And this textbook, this workbook lessons are helping us to see how powerful we really are. We are not victims. We've invented this world. There's another way of seeing it. And we could see peace instead of all the calamity and chaos. We are a part of the mind of God. We are as God created us to be. And all that's required is that we rise above the battlefield.
Yes, and being in the battlefield is not only, as you suggested, a way for us to be in control, it is also a habit. I mean, it is just a habitual way of being. It's a habitual way of being based upon a thought system that in which we see everything as upside down, and that my thoughts are the exact opposite of the truth. And so, you know, it becomes a habitual way of being. And I'm reminded of a story I heard a minister say one time, is that when you live like up in Alaska or in a very, you know, cold climate, you know, as winter approaches, you pick your pathway very carefully, the pathway in which you drive your car, because there is a muddiness, and yet soon it will freeze. And the ruts you make, or the ruts you're committed to all winter long, that is what you are kind of stuck with. And anybody ever feel rutted? Anybody ever feel, you know, in a rut, and how, you know, it takes some energy to jump out of the habitual tracks that we've laid for our lives. And yet what seems solid and what seems frozen, what we know about consciousness, is that it is absolutely malleable. It does take willingness. It does take awareness. It does take commitment because you consistently must commit to letting go of the thought system that created that rut and committing to consistently a new thought system. It's like, you know, Tony teaching me how to do the two-step. I didn't grow up knowing how to do the two-step. And my beloved T will take me in his arms, and for years I would step on his toes. It was a new dance. It was a new way of being, and it was awkward at first. And yet, you know, we have a benevolent guide, just like my husband was a benevolent guide and kept, you know, working with me to teach me the two-step and and didn't care when I stepped on his toes. Well, just like, you know, beloved T with me, we have a beloved guide that is infinitely patient with us, that you know, waits for us while we hang out in the rut or the prison that we made, and waits for us to, when we're ready, is right there with us to lift us up and out and guide us in a new way, in a new thought system. And so if this doesn't feel like a benevolent system, I would suggest to think again that it is a benevolent system, that a system that actually gives us the choice is benevolent in and of itself. It's not making us do anything, but we have fallen asleep to the belief that something is happening to us. And that's the definition of the victim level consciousness. And we awaken in stages. And that first stage of awakening is that we awaken to, oh, we're not a victim. We are choosing the route. We're creating, making that prison for ourselves. And that how beautiful and wonderful it is that we can see it another way, and that there is a guide. There's a guide that assists us in doing that. And so may we surrender into that guidance system now. May we be willing now to contemplate and create that opening that we can see everything in another way. Everything. We are a part of the mind of God. We are so holy. And this holiness is our salvation. It is this holiness in which our oneness with all of creation abides. And there's nothing to fear. We might step on a little bit of toes and be a little bit awkward for a while, but have faith and trust that all is so magnificently well. So magnificently well that we are free, that peace abides within us now, and that we are so very holy and beloved.
And so it is. We appreciate you, Mighty Companion. Thank you for hanging out with us today in this workbook lesson and companioning us in our journey through the teachings of A Course in Miracles. God bless you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over 是